Thank you. Yeah, this is what I'm going to talk about. There've been quite a few people involved with this, and we've listed some of those people, or most of those people here. I'm with the Southwest Watershed Research Center in Tucson, Arizona, by the way. So this study was funded by EPA, Global Change Research Program. They contacted us, and they were interested in doing and having a web-based soil erosion program that would do assessments of what are the impacts, what potential impacts might we see for soil erosion under changing climates. And this was based on some work we'd done in the past with various things. Processes involved in climate change and erosional impacts, it's actually quite a complex set of interactions that you can see with regard to how climate might impact erosion. Of course, things like plant biomass production, if you have changes in CO2 concentrations, water availability, even things like you might not think about, like plant residue decomposition rates could and microbial activity rates can change under changing temperatures and moisture regimes. Certainly ET has a potential for changing under climate change. Soil surface conditions. A big one is this issue of the rain and the snow proportions, snow melt events. You know, when do you, if you're switching to if you're moving to a warmer environment, you might see the potential for higher erosivities under warmer climate. Weather variability, and that's something we'll talk about as we go through. Certainly, erosivity is one we think of primarily. When we think of climate change, because we are seeing changes in precip and in a variety of ways. And then another mechanism that is involved in terms of potential changes in erosion rates under climate shifts have to do with land use. And I won't get into that too much with our model, but as a farmer or a land manager changes the way they manage their land under changing climate, that obviously would have some impact on the could have some impact on the erosion rates. We know that rainfall has changed in the 20th century in the United States. We're seeing, if you look at the country as a whole, we're seeing proportion of the country with a much greater than normal number of wet days has increased, and also precipitation amounts have increased, particularly in terms of heavy rainfall events, the large rainfall events. And these are based on studies that have been done by various people, including NOAA particularly. This is a published set of work looking at trends and precipitation totals over the 20th century, and those dark circles you see there indicate trends towards an increasing precipitation regime from, I think that was about 1910 through 1990, mid-1990s. The other thing we're seeing, too, globally as well as in the U.S. is this, and I alluded to this, the trends in heavy precipitation. And this was work, I think, Pavel Groisman published this map looking at where he had information about increases or changes in the size of storm events. Basically, what we're seeing is worldwide is we're seeing a higher proportion of the total rainfall coming in these larger events. So rainfall is on the increase in much of the U.S., not all of the U.S., but much of the U.S., amounts, intensities, number of events, all of these things. And we know certainly that erosion increases as a function of rainfall. The EI-30 value from the U.S. ILLI is a good way to think about that in terms of increases in erosivity as a function of changes in increases in rainfall amounts. And we do think that those trends probably will continue in the future based on the GCM predictions, increases in the frequency of these heavy precipitation events across much of the United States. So that's the background. I was kind of just going to mention this, that the fourth assessment report of the IPCC, first time in any of the reports they've mentioned soil erosion, and was really happy to see that they recognized the potential there in terms of changes in erosion under climate change. Okay, so when we went set about doing the project, we needed to have a, we felt like we needed to have a process-based model that was able to take into account a lot of these sort of complex interactions that I alluded to earlier. And because of that, we went with the Water Erosion Prediction Project model as opposed to something like Russell or USLE, where we have a lot of these factors sort of built into the assessment, and so that's what we used. So some studies we've done earlier sort of pointed to what, in terms of erosivity, looking at erosivity changes, how can the rainfall erosivity change? Of course, we can have a change in the number of days of precipitation. We can have changes associated with the amount of precipitation that occurs in a storm. Certainly precipitation intensity and energy, and then I alluded to this rain and snow proportions, and it has a check mark by it because that's sort of automatically taken care of in the WEP model. If you change the temperature, it's gonna change your whether you have snow or rain on a given day. And in terms of some of the other two factors, the number of days and the amount of rain that falls. We did some studies earlier with WEP and looking at sensitivity analysis for how precipitation changes would impact soil erosion rates. And to cut to the chase here, we found we did a study where we looked at just changing the number of days in the model, changing the amount of rain that falls per day, and then doing a 50-50 sort of change. And I don't remember if I have a slide here on that. Well, I guess I do. Here we go. So these are kind of the results of that. And I guess the important thing here is if you look in the first column there, we did a number of scenarios here with different soil types, different locations and slopes and so forth. You change the number of wet days. You don't necessarily, in other words, say you can increase your precipitation by 5% by increasing the number of wet days, but you don't change anything else. You don't change the size of the precipitation events. You do get an increase in erosion, but it's less than a 1-to-1. In other words, if you had a 1% increase in precip or number of wet days, you only had about 0.85. This is rough, but about a 0.85 increase in erosion rates. But if you change that amount of rain that falls in a given day, right, you get a much bigger response because you're changing the rainfall intensity, and you're increasing the size of those storms. And basically, what we concluded from the study, this was published some years back. I don't remember exactly when, but we felt like the best thing to do in terms of doing these climate change studies with precip was to change both the number of wet days and the number, the amount of rain on average that falls in a day. And that's kind of important when you look at these studies. Other people are doing these, you see them published in various places, and a lot of times they're not clear about how they're changing the precipitation with regard to this particular topic. And I think it can give you quite different results based depending on what you do. So we recommend when we're doing these kinds of modeling studies that you change both the number. If you're going to do a shift in your precip, you represent that by changing both number of days and the amount of precipitation per day. Still doesn't get at this precipitation intensity event. In other words, what I alluded to earlier, and that we're seeing a much higher proportion of our rainfall, or somewhat higher proportion of our rainfall falling in these large events. This again is Pavel Groisman's work, looking at changes in precip. I don't have a pointer, do I? Over the U.S. from 1910 to 1999. And if you look at this, okay, so he's seeing linear trends in the amount of precipitation that's falling in this heavy, very heavy, and extreme event. And those are per 10-year period. So, for example, we're seeing an increase of 3.3% over that time period in terms of the amount of rainfall per decade that's falling in these very extreme events. In other words, we're seeing more of them, okay, on average. And we wanted to be able to account for that in our model. WEP uses has the facility to use CLIGEN, which is a stochastic weather generator. We and others use CLIGEN quite often when trying to downscale GCM data, for example, and use it in the erosion models. And that's what we used in this study. And what we did, what we did was we developed methods in the technology where we can change the intensify our rainfall based on those linear trends that Groisman reported before. So here we come down to the technology itself. It is online, www.webcat.net. It's a web-based version of the WEP model. It's linked with capability to adjust weather inputs, representative changing climates. It's applicable only for the United States at this point. It does have a filter strip optimization tool. I won't have a chance to talk about that too much. And we have in there the databases for the most of the U.S. soils. And we also have PRISM. It's linked with PRISM, which is allows us to take into account orographic effects on the rainfall, and particularly important in the West, and a limited database for management practices. So this is basically the screen. And if you start at the top left-hand corner, what we'll do is we'll define a baseline condition where you pull down your state, the climate station, the soil type. That can be done either by the climate can be done either by a pull with a drop-down menu or through a map based interface there. And you can define the field length and width, steepness, the shape of the slope. There's a limited set of management practices. I would say probably we're talking about 30 or 40 different management practices that are in there. Run the baseline conditions. So that'll give you basically your baseline conditions for your location and your cropping system, whatever you have there. Then you can pull up another screen, which will allow you then to go in and adjust your temperature and your precipitation value. And then down at the bottom, you see it says there's a little screen there. It says intensify rainfall, which allows you to take into account this rainfall intensity effect that we see in the historical data. And there are little question marks there beside each one, which allows you to pull up the help screens. And we give advice when you pull those help screens up in terms of what reasonable changes you might want to put in. That's good. So there. So we have the ability with the interface then to change the number, the four factors with regard to erosivity we talked about before, the number of days of precipitation, the average amount of precipitation that occurs in a storm, the precipitation intensity, shifting that distribution of rainfall events, and then also the rain-snow proportion, which basically comes in through the temperature adjustment. Okay, so then the results basically pretty straightforward. Just give you some. You can do scenarios and compare the baseline to changes in the precip, changes in the precip or temperature. And okay, this I did just mention the filter strip off, and we did put a filter strip option in this, and it does an optimization. Basically, what that's telling you there is we had a field with a filter strip of 10 meters. In order to maintain the same effectiveness of that filter strip under the new defined climate, you needed in that case a 20 foot. Those are feet, not meters. Feet, 20 foot wide filter strip. And that's basically what we've got. I just wanted to say you can read that. But I just wanted to say that this is not intended to be a tool for people to do detailed scientific work. It's intended as an educational tool. And it allows one to give a feel for what kind of changes you might expect in hill slope erosion rates by water as a function of some changes in precipitation and temperature under future climate change scenarios. And I think that's all I have to say.
Intense storms are
Yeah, that's a good question. And I don't know. There must be some wind erosion people in the room. I don't know the answer to that, Jerry. But
What's the climate model say?
not something I'm aware of. I'm not familiar with that part of it. I don't know. Good question. But I would encourage you, if you have, particularly for the students, if you're a professor sitting out there and you want and you're inter you have a conservation class, you might find that as a useful tool in terms of just talking about, what we might expect in terms of what the response might be for climate changes. And of course, there's a lot of things that can be done with this too, in terms of linking to GCMs and so forth, which we haven't done at this point.
Thanks.
Our next